Masechta Shabbos, Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, the Gemara, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. If someone performs only a half of a Mila on Shabbos and does not complete it, he did not do the Mila, and in fact he's Chayev Karis for doing a Melacha on Shabbos. We learned about the Halacha of Mitzitza, that one must do Mitzitza when they do the Mila. If the Mitzitza was not done, we say that we remove the Mayel from his job, since it puts the child in a Makam Sakana. In fact, because of Sakana, we can be Machal Shabbos and do the Mitzitza. And the Chasam Sofer asks a question on Daf Kuf Vav. Since Mitzitza is really Chilul Shabbos, and the Heter of Mila, Ovoyam HaShmini, is only for the Mila, not for the Mitzitza. If so, why do we say, if a Bris Mila happens on Shabbos morning, why do we say Zrizin Makdim La Mitzvah, and we do the Bris Mila in the morning of Shabbos, why don't we do the Bris Mila in the afternoon on Shabbos, just before Shkia, and do the Mitzitza Matzoy Shabbos? This way we won't have to be Machal Shabbos with Mitzitza. Chasam Sofer answers, Kivan de Hutra Hutra. Once Ubayim HaShmini is Matir the Mila, it's Matir the Mitzitza as well. And he brings additional rayas from the Gemara Menachas that Kivan Shehutra Hutra. Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. It is usur to strain mustard on Shabbos, since it's like Beirer. It's removing the psilis seeds from the Eichel. The Gemara says, although making cheese is Tzarech Eichel Nefesh, it is still usur to make it on Yontif due to the Malacha of Baina. So why is kneading bread mutter on Yontif? Our answer is, since people like fresh bread, so it was really impossible to do it before Yontif. Therefore, what's not possible to do before Yontif, you can do on Yontif. Mashenkein cheese can be made in advance. So therefore, since it's Efshel Aseisim Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to make it on Yontif itself. Finally, Abaya's mother gave him many eitzes on how to deal medically with an unhealthy child at birth, including if a child is jaundiced, the child is yellow, you should wait and not do the Mila until the child becomes healthier. The Mishnah. It is permitted to wash the cotton with hot water on Shabbos, both before the Mila and after the Mila. But if one does this, they have to do it with a shine, for example, sprinkling versus washing, or doing it by hand instead of doing it with a keli. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah adds, on day 3 after the Mila, if it turns out to be on Shabbos, one can wash the baby with hot water as well on day 3, since the third day is a day of Sakana. As we know from Shimon Velevi, when they went into the city, the men were kayevim on that day because that's the hardest day of Sakana. Rashi and the Ran learn that although one can do it on day 3, they can certainly do washing on day 1 and 2. The Rambam, however, says it's only mutter on day 1 and 3, day 1 meaning the day of the Mila, and then the third day after that, not on day 2. If there is a suffix regarding the baby, if the baby is viable, then it's also to be Machal Shabbos if day number 8 is on Shabbos. The Meiri learns that this means if it's a suffix regarding the time of birth, for example, we're not sure if the baby was born Bein HaShemashes, and we're not sure what the time of birth was, then we say we cannot be Machal Shabbos if the Mila falls out on day 8. By an androgynous, which is a Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Nekeva, Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel, the Gemara. By a Godol, the healing time for a Mila is longer than the healing time needed for a cotton. The Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that even if the Yom HaShlishi comes out on Shabbos, the baby can be washed. Shmuel says, it's also to put oil on a wound on Shabbos, but it's mutter to put it above the wound, and let the oil drip down onto the wound on its own accord. Also, a dry bandage can be put on a wound to protect it. Daf Lamed Hey. Only if a baby is definitely born on Shabbos, do we say that the Yom HaShmini is on the following Shabbos, and the Mila is Deicha Shabbos. But if there is any suffix if the Yom HaShmini is Shabbos, we're not Mechal Shabbos. For example, if the baby is born Bein HaShemashes on Friday afternoon, and we're not sure, then we're not Mechal Shabbos. And Taisus adds that if one did a Mila, when there was a Safik Shmini, then he's chayav to bring a chatas. The Gemara says if a child is born noilad mahol, meaning he was already born with a Mila, then his bris is not Deicha Shabbos. But during the week, however, there is still a chiyav of a tofas dam bris, letting some blood out. And if someone becomes a ger, but when he was a baby he had already had a bris Mila, then it's a machlekes beis hil and beishamai if he needs a tofas dam bris. Rev Anna bar Abba had a child who was born on Shabbos, already mahol, and he asked 13 different Mayalim to perform Hatafas Dambris, and they all refused to do it since it was Shabbos. He decided to do it himself, and he injured the baby, and attributed the mistake to the fact that he did the Hatafah on Shabbos against the ruling of the Amoraim. The Shach, by the way, in Cheshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Pei Beis, Sifkot and Dalet, citing the Rush, says that a father really has a mitzvah to circumcise his own child, and if he's capable of doing it, he should do the Bris Mila himself. Also, la halacha, there is a machlekes apaiskim regarding the chiyav of hatafas dam bris by a noilad mohel. The Levush in Simon Reish Samach Gimel says it's only a chiyuv to do a tafas dam bris mid rabbanan. But the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Beis says that it's a mitzvah mid araisa. A woman who gives birth to a child and she doesn't have the regular tumas leida, for example, a child was yoytze daifin, the child was born via cesarean section, then there is no din of mila bishmini, and if the baby is born on Shabbos, we would not do the mila on Shabbos. In other words, mila is not teicha Shabbos in the case of a cesarean. Reb Chama said if a shivcha gave birth and later she went to the mikveh to become a geyeris, so her child is not a Yisrael vis-a-vis b'yayim hashmini. But if she was teivel first, then when the child is born, since she has the dinim of tumas leida, then the child has the halacha of mila bishmini. But the Tanakhama does not hold that it is tali in tumas leida. Finally, Shimon Gamliel said if a child lives at least 30 days, it's considered as a ben kayama, a viable child. As we learn regarding pidyon, that a pidyon haben is after 30 days and pidyon behema is after 8 days. A child normally takes 9 months to be born. If it is carried for 7 months, then it's possible for it to live. If it's carried, though, for 8 months, we say that it's not viable and it's likely to become a nephil. And if it is born after 8 months, we cannot do the mila if the 8th day falls out on Shabbos, because we can assume it's not going to be viable. Tosfos, citing a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Amud Aleph, explains that this is so only if the fetus is born with underdeveloped nails and hair. However, if an 8-month-old baby exhibits fully developed nails and hair, then it's treated as a viable child, for then we know that we can assume that it was a 7th-month baby whose birth was just simply delayed. The Chazon Ish in Yerodea Simen Kufnun Ches says that today we are allowed to desecrate the Shabbos to save the life of a premature baby, even if we are certain that he was carried for only 8 months. Since it's common today for such babies to survive, both with an incubator and even without an incubator, the Chazon Ish says that apparently the nature today has changed, Nishtana HaTavayim, versus what it used to be back in those days. So the halachas that we say here in the Gemara about an 8-month-old baby, which is not viable, does not apply today. Rav Ada Bar Ava said, if someone does the mila on a ben ches chodesh, since it's like a nephil, it's like cutting a piece of meat, so he's not chayev for meleches chevel. And whether the nephil is compared to a trefa or not, that's a machlekes. If a calf is born on yantiv, we're allowed to shecht it on yantiv, and we don't consider it to be muktzah, since it's muchan al gabi imay. It was in its mother's stomach already before yantiv. He could have shechted the mother and gotten the vlad before yantiv. If a child falls off a roof, or was eaten by a lion before it's 30 days old, since most children live more than 30 days, we can assume it was a viable child. And then if the father dies, his brother is pater from doing yibum or chalitza with the almana, the dead child's mother. We know that yibum is only done if the man never had a child, but here he had a child, and one we assume was viable. The Gemara says that an androgynous, sofik zocher, sofik nekeva, it has the simanim of both, Tanakhama says its mila is not Deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says it is Deicha Shabbos, i.e. is considered like a regular Zohar. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that an androgynous is like a Zohar for all halachas. For example, if someone makes a neder erki olai to give the value of a person to Hekdish, an androgynous has no value, unlike a Zohar who has a value. And a tumtum, one whose organs are covered so we don't know if it's a Zohar or an akeva, also has no value, no erech. Tafkuf lamed zayin, the Mishnah. If a male has 2 babies in front of him, one whose eighth day is Sunday, and one whose 8th day is Shabbos, and he by mistake did the mila of the Sunday baby on Shabbos, so the male is chayev a karban chatas, because he was makdim a mila too early. Taya b'dvar mitzvah, v'lay asa mitzvah. But if he had a Friday baby and a Shabbos baby, and he did Fridays on Shabbos, Rebbe Elazar says he's chayev a chatas, because it was machal Shabbos. It's a mila shalay b'zmana, which is not doicha Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says, potter, since he was toya b'dvar mitzvah, v'osa mitzvah. L'maisa, he did the mila, which he had a chiyuv to do. The Gemara. Remeir says, by a toya b'dvar mitzvah, v'osa mitzvah, all would agree that he's potter. But the machlokes is by toya b'dvar mitzvah, v'loyasa mitzvah. And both of them learn their halachas from the halachas of Avodah Zarah. The Shulchan Aruch, in Yerodea, Simen, Reish Samach Beis, paskins that if the mila was done before the 8th day, for example, let's say it was done on day 4, the mitzvah was done, and there is no chiyuv to do hatafas dam bris later on day 8. The Shach, however, says, the Rama holds, that just like if the mila was done after day 8, it's a good mila, but you just don't get credit for the aspect of Yom HaShmini, so too before the 8th day. The Shagas Aryeh argues on the Rama, and says that if it was done before day 8, he is not yoytze the mitzvah at all, because our Mishnah before said that if he did it early, it's a case of tov b'dvar mitzvah v'lo yaseh mitzvah. So then, why not do hatafas dam bris when day 8 comes? Shagas Aryeh, Simen Nun Beis, answers that the reason a Tafas Dam Bris is not required when a baby is circumcised early is not because that mitzvah was already fulfilled, but on the contrary, because we view a prematurely circumcised baby as though his entire organ was severed, and the mitzvah of Bris Mila is no longer possible. The Mishnah. Sometimes a katan has Mila on day 8, sometimes lechatchila we do it on 9, 10, 11, or 12, but we never do it before day 8. Normally, it's day 8. If it was born in the period of Ben Hashmashas, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, on Friday evening, then the Mila will be on day 10. Friday is day 1. We cannot do it on day 8 Friday, since it may be too early. Shabbos we can't do it, which is day 9, since it's a Safik, so therefore we wait till Sunday. And if Sunday is Yontif, we'll push it till Monday, since Mila Shalei Bizmana is not Daicha Yontif either. And if Sunday, Monday is Rosh Hashanah, then we'll wait till Tuesday, so then we'll have the maximum of 12 days. A katan who became sick, you cannot do the Mila until he gets healthy. The Rambam and the Shach say, only the second day of Rosh Hashanah do we say Mila Shalei Bizmana is not Daicha Rosh Hashanah. That's why our Mishnah, Bedafka, mentions Rosh Hashanah. But any other Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, we can do the Mila Shalei Bizmana. The Beis Yosef and the Rosh argue, and say that all Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, a Mila Shalei Bizmana, cannot be Deicha Yontif. The Gemara. If a child was sick, we need to wait until the fever subsides, and then we must count a full 7 days, Me'eis Le'eis, until we can do the Mila. And we don't say Miktsas Yom Kekulei, like by a regular child. For example, if day 1, even if the child is born at 3 p.m., we count that day as the full day number 1. Bizman Hazeh, if a child is jaundiced, if he's yellow, he's considered ill, and we cannot do the Mila until he gets better. But the Rambam writes that we only delay the bris if the jaundice is substantial. He's Yorek B'Yoser. Regarding if we must wait a full 7 days or not for all types of jaundice, this is a Machlokes HaPoskim between Rishtoy Mezalman Arbach, who says it depends on the situation, and the Minchas Yitzchak, who says we always have to wait a full 7 days. The next Mishnah. The following are the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, the strands of flesh that if they are not cut off, they are ma'akev, the mila. Any skin which still covers the crown of the mila. And by the way, there's a machlekes rishainim, if only leaving the ar ha-arla, which is what Rashi and the Rabbam say, the thick skin, if that's ma'akev, or even if we leave tzitzin from the ar ha-priya, the thin membrane, if this is ma'akev, this is the shita of the Rajba and Taisvis and Yavamas Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. We pass them like Taisvis Lahachmer. And if the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin are not cut off, and he's a Kayin, he cannot eat Chuma. He's considered like an Oral. And if the Mila was done, but not the Priya, i.e. did not cut away the Priya, the thin membrane, the child is still called an Oral. i.e. it's like there was no Mila that was done at all. Gemara. When the male does the Mila, he makes the Bracha of Asher Kedushanam Tzvaisav Tzivanu Al HaMila. The father of the child then says, "Asher kiddushanu mitzvaisav tzivanu lachnisai bivrisai shel Avraham Avinu," and the people who are standing answer, "Kishem shenichnas labris kein ikanes l'tayra l'chupa ulamaisim tayvim." The chiddush Yeran is medayek from the words of the Gemara, "V'ha'imdim sham," those who are standing, they say, "Kishem shenichnas labris," that all people who are at the bris need to stand at the time of the mila; they cannot be sitting. The Abu Draham asks, "Why the specific order of tayra, chupa, and maisim tayvim? Why that order?" And he answers, since in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Le'olam yilmad Torah v'achar kach yisa isha, that's why Torah comes first, then Chuppah comes. And why are Maisim Tovim, the mitzvahs, at the end? This is at Bar Mitzvah, so why that should actually be first? Gemara answers, since a person is not a Bar Einshin until age 20, which is really after Chuppah, which is at age 18. The Gemara says, the one who holds the Kais Yain makes the following bracha. Asher kidei shidid mi beten, bless are you Hashem, our God, King of the Universe, who has sanctified the Beloved One from the womb. Chok b'she'erai, sam, and so on and so forth. Bracha ta Hashem, keres habris. Blessed are you Hashem, who establishes the covenant. We say that Hashem is mekadosh the one he loved, Yitzchak, from the time of birth. Hashem implanted his chayk of mila on his skin, and also his descendants have this mitzvah. Therefore we pray to Hashem to save all of us from the einish of Gehenim, due to mitzvah's mila. Bless Hashem who made the bris. And Taisus Reed asks, why is it that not only there's one bracha here of Birchas HaMitzvah, like Shaifer, why do we make an additional bracha, Kidei Shidid Mi Beten? Taisus Reed answers, it's a special mitzvah chaviva, since it was given even before Matan Torah. Mashenk and other mitzvahs have only one bracha, since they came by Matan Torah. Finally, when one does a mila on a ger, he also makes a special bracha of Lomel Es HaGerim, and we do a Hatofas Dam Bris. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin Perek Chaf, Tailin, the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says one is allowed before Yontif to suspend a keli over a strainer, even though he's making an oil over the item. And if an oil is already suspended, one can use it to catch wine. The Chachamim say one cannot suspend a keli on Yontif or put wine in it, but on Yontif, one can put wine in. The Gemara. Yechanan says, all say that you cannot make even an oil aray on Yontif, and certainly not on Shabbos. But to add to an existing oil, that's where the machlokes exists. Finally, if someone did make an oil aray on Yontif, he's chayev to bring a chattas. Taf kuf lamed ches. The reason one cannot make an oil on Yontif is because it's a uvda dechol, a weekday type of activity which could lead to doing a full malacha. The wine straining is according to Rava, the malacha of Beirer, separating the oichel and leaving the psoilus. According to Rav Zera, it's a malacha of merakid, sifting. Rami Bar Yecheskel said one should not spread a tent or a sheet over a frame to provide an oil, an onig, but if it had a string attached to it, whereas it can be rolled or unrolled, then it's mutter to open and close this. Kuntres Al-Daf says that one practical application of this halacha relates to covering a sukkah to protect it from the rain. According to the Shita of Rabbeinu Yoina, which is brought in Taisus Erevin, Daf Kuf Beis, Amid Beis, as long as there is a drawstring attached to the covering, it may be pulled open on Yontif. There are Mahavir Paskins and Archaim Simon Tafresh Chavav Sif Gimel, that if the covering is fastened to the sukkah with hinges, then it may be opened and closed on Yontif, just as a door to a house may be opened and closed, and it's not considered to be Baina, it's not considered to be building. A curtain can be put up or taken down on Shabbos because the Isra of Eichel only applies to a covering, not to a curtain. A bridal canopy may be hung on Shabbos, but only if the apex of the roof is less than a tefach wide. And if it widens to the width of a tefach within three tefachim of the apex, then we also must be machmer due to lovet. Something is within three tefachim, we say it as if it's connected to that point. When the Rabbanim came to Kerem B'Yavna to set up the Sanhedrin, they said that Torah will be forgotten in Klal Yisrael. They will forget Dvar Hashem. This refers to Halacha, it refers to the Ketz, the end of Golos, and it refers to Nevuah, prophecy. All these will be forgotten. Finally, although normally something must be touched directly to contract Tumah, but a Klicheres has a special Halacha, in that it can give Tumah to certain items which are just in its airspace. Taf Kuf Lamed Tes. Rabbi Yossi Bar Elisha says, if you see a generation where there are a lot of tzaras in Klal Yisrael, go be baidik in the Dayanim, the judges of that generation, since all bad things which come on the account of corrupt Dayanim. Ula said, Ein Yerushalayim nifta ela bitztaka. Yerushalayim will only be redeemed through tztaka. Shenemar, as the Pasuk in Yishai Aleph says, Tzion b'mishpat tipada b'shaveha bitztaka. Tzion shall be redeemed via justice, and the ones who return shall be redeemed via tztaka. The Etzbei Seichem Ba'avain refers to the corrupt Seifrim in the courts. And Sifsei Seichem Dibru Sheker refers to the lawyers who give litigants lies in order to say them in court. Since Aaron HaKohen was happy that his brother Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader of Klal Yisrael, and he was not jealous, he was zeicha to have the Choshen Mishpat on his heart. The Gemara says Rabbi Nashva gave answers to three questions, including the psak, that it is usur for a Jew or a guy to bury someone who died both on the first day of Yontif as well as the second day of Yontif. But Rabbi Yochanan said, if it involves Kavod HaBrius, then it would be mutter to have a guy do the burying. Rava said, on Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, even a Jew can do it. And this would apply even to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. For Halacha L'maisa Bizman Hazeh, Ayin Igrus Maisha, Rachayim Chelek Gimel, Simen Ayin Vav. The Gemara says one is allowed to wrap himself in a cloak with strings and walk with it in a Rosh Hasharabim on Shabbos. The strings, we say, are bottled to the cloak. However, if one goes out with a talus that has tzitzis psula, that is usher to walk with them in a Rosh Hasharabim, since they are not bottled to the beged, the strings are a chashiv, a part of the talus. Rashi says they're chashiv since they have tchelis, the Mishnah. If we have sediments of wine in a strainer, one can pour water into it to clear the wine, and one can rid wine of mold, if he does it with a shina. One can make inimlin, which is a type of drink, on Shabbos. Reb Tzadok says the quantities depend on the number of guests that you have in the house. Daf Kuf Mem, the Gemara. Mustard, which was kneaded before Shabbos, Rav said one can on Shabbos continue to process it with liquid with a keli only, but not by hand, since this will be considered a malach of lush if it's done by hand. Shmuel says he can only do it with a hand, then it's mutter, but if he does it with a keli, then it's aser. The Mishnah. One is not allowed to soak chiltis root in warm water, but one can put it in vinegar and dip the bread into it. And one cannot put straw on a high place, so chaff will fall from it. Gemara. Chiltis cannot be soaked, since it's considered to be an uvda dechol. If one wants to move a shirt off a muktza, hanging rod, he can do it by moving the shirt, but not by moving the rod. This is called tiltul minatzad, indirect movement. If, however, you need the place of where the stick is, the stick, the rod, can be moved. This is called Tzarech Mekoymet, because you need the place where the stick, where the rod, is sitting. Reb Chisda said to his daughters, be modest before your husbands, and don't eat bread in front of them, lest you eat too much and become unattractive to them. The Mishnah. Reb Daisa said one can scrape dirt off a trough of an ox or off the ground, so it won't get mixed with the food on Shabbos. The Chachamim say this is Aser, and one can move food, however, from one animal to another. Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, the Mishnah. Straw is normally muksa, since it's used for fires. But if it's on a bed, one can move it kil achar yad, if he needs the bed. But if it was designated for animal food, or for the purpose of sleeping on it, as a pillow, then it's not considered to be muksa. Clothing in a press cannot be put in on Shabbos, but it can be taken out. But a launderer's presser cannot be used at all on Shabbos. Gemara. Crushing pepper is usur on Shabbos due to teichen, due to grinding. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's done with a shinei, it would be mutter. Wet cloth should not be used as a bottle stopper, because when pushing it, he might squeeze out some liquid, and this would be over the melacha of schita. One can scrape clean a new shoe, but not an old shoe, because we're afraid he'll pull off some of the leather, which is tantamount to mamachek, to smoothing. Finally, a person should not go out on Shabbos with shoes that are too big, since they may fall off, and the person would then come to carry them in a rishus harabim. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Chaf Aleph, Neitel, the Mishnah. A person can pick up his child on Shabbos, even if the child is holding a stone, which is mukta, and he can pick up a basket, which has a mukta stone. Gemara. If someone carries a child in a rishus harabim with a purse on his neck, he's putter for carrying the child. As Rav Nosson says, chai naisa es atzmai. They aid in their own carrying. But he is chai for the purse. Masha'enkin, if the child is dead, then he's putter on both. The child is putter on, since the malacha she'en tzricha legufa. He's not carrying the child for the purpose of carrying. The child is dead. And he's putter on the purse, since the purse is considered tofel to the dead child. What good is a toy purse if there is no live child? Daf Kuf Mem Beis. Even though the basket with the stone is considered a basis ledavar asur, but since it also has a lot of peiros in it, the peiros are more chashiv, therefore it's a basis ledavar asur umoter. If a saw of truma falls into 100 saw of chulin, you can take out one random saw of truma, and it's all mutter to the zar. And if a second saw fell in before taking out the first saw, the Tanakhama says it's aser, Rav Shimon says it's mutter. The next Mishnah. If a stone, which is mukta, is on a barrel of wine, so to get to the wine, we tilt the barrel so the stone will fall off. If a pillow gets dirty, one may wipe it off with a rag, but not with water, because this would be laundering, which is a told of libun, whitening. Gemara. Once they forgot a purse full of money on a busy street, so they paskened that it can be moved with a loaf of bread, or it can be moved on top of a baby. Others said that this heter only applies to moving a dead body due to kavod abrius, but not doing it if one needs to move something else. Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, the Mishnah. Beis Shammai said one can remove from the shulchan bones and nutshells, and Beis Hillel says he cannot, but rather he should move the board they are lying on and then shake them off. But one can move breadcrumbs and pea pods, since they are ro'i lebehema. A sponge, you must be careful when you handle a sponge on Shabbos, because if it's squeezed, you could be over on the iser of schita. The Rambam says squeezing out a sponge is not schita, but it's aser due to the melacha of kibus, laundering, because wringing out clothing is part of the laundering process. Kibus is a tolda, by the way, of the melacha of melabe. The Chazan Ish in Simen Nun Vav Sifkat Nehe says that squeezing a sponge is not kibus, but rather it's dush, threshing. Extracting liquid from any garment is similar to extracting juice from a fruit, which is a tolda of dush, threshing, as we mentioned earlier in the Masechta. Gemara. When Shabbos began, the peas were in the pod, not royal le'achilas behema. They were not outside the pod, so the animal couldn't eat them. So why don't we say that they're mukta due to nailin? Gemara says they hold like Reb Shimon, who does not hold of this mukta. Finally, pits. Once they become part of a large pile of pits, then we say they're a graf shel rei, and they could be moved. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Chav Beis, Chavis, the Mishnah. If a wine barrel breaks, one can save enough wine for Gimel Su'udis. But he can also tell other people to come, and each of them can take wine for Gimel Su'udis. But one cannot mop it up for squeezing after Shabbos. Fruit cannot be squeezed for the liquid on Shabbos. This is a tolda of dush. Rabbi Yehuda says if you eat the fruit, you can also drink the liquid. But if you really want the liquid, then you cannot drink it. Honeycomb crushed before Shabbos. The honey is now oozing on Shabbos. It's usher to take the honey. Rabbi Ezra says it's mutter. Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda was made to the Chachamim that by olives and grapes, that the juice is always usher So even if he really wants the fruit, but since most olives and grapes are squeezed for the juice, we're more afraid of schita. And the halacha is lekula, like Rabbi Yehuda, on all peres, but we go lechumra by olives and grapes. For something to be able to be mekabel tuma, it needs hakshara, and via being touched by one of the seven liquids. This includes cholef. And the seven liquids are abbreviated with the words yad, shachat, dam. And it can be makshir, even shalei l'ratzain by cholef, if the woman, for example, does not want. Daf kuf mem dalet. If a fruit is never squeezed, for example, something like plums, even the chacham would be maida that those would be okay to squeeze. Masha'en kein, fruits which are sometimes squeezed by some people, such as berries or pomegranates, even though they are not designated for squeezing, they are still usur to squeeze. The Rambam in Perek Kaf Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Yud Beis explains that squeezing such fruits is usur midrabbanan, even though their juice is halachically considered as an oichel, because of the concern that one who squeezes berries might come to squeeze grapes, as they resemble grapes and they are periodically used for squeezing. This is brought in Kuntres Al Hadaf. The Shulchan Aruch, however, in Simen Shin Chaf Sif Vav, bringing the rush, rules that squeezing lemons is mutter, because lemons belong to the category of fruits that are not commonly squeezed. Apparently, in the times of the rush, lemons were not squeezed for drinking purposes, but only for use in salads. The Chai Adam, which is brought in the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Chaf Sif Katan Chaf Beis, is reluctant to permit squeezing lemons to make for lemonade today on Shabbos. Today, as we know, lemon juice is commonly produced in large quantities and stored separately for later use. Therefore, he argues that lemons today are in the same category as pomegranates and berries, in the times of the Gemara, and may not be squeezed unless they're squeezed directly into food itself, as we're going to speak about a little bit later. The Gemara says if beets are squeezed and placed in a mikveh, they passel the mikveh due to the change in color, due to the shinui mara. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, it is mutar lachatchila to squeeze grapes into a pot of food, since it's clear that it's not squeezing the grapes for drinking the juice, derech disha, but rather just to flavor the food, i.e. mashka habal lo eichel ka eichel dami, and it's not considered a liquid. But squeezing liquid into a bowl is osur as disha, since it looks like you want it for the purpose of the liquid. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Chaf Sif Dalet says that it's mutar to squeeze grapes or other fruit directly into food. The Rama, however, assers squeezing fruit onto food. The Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Chaf Sif Katan Chaf Dalet writes that if one wishes to make lemonade on Shabbos, he can squeeze the lemons directly into the sugar and then add the sugar to the water. And in fact, this is the best way to make tea on Shabbos. If a person makes tea, of course, assuming that he made the essence before Shabbos, but if he wants to add lemon, he should put the lemon onto the sugar and then put the sugar with the lemon into the tea. Because as we know, we said before, Mashka Balo Eichel Ka Eichel Dami. Daf Kuf Mem Hei. If one wants to squeeze a pickle, if it's for the purpose of the pickle, then it's mutter. But if it's for the juice, midrabanan, then it's pater aval osar. But it's not considered dash midaraisa, since it's not really its own juice around the pickle. Rav says, midaraisa, one is only chayav if one squeezes grapes and olives. An aid mi pi aid, which we know normally is not mutter, we need two aidim to say normal aidus, but if it's aid mi pi aid, that's only mutter in the case of aidus isha, in terms of one aid hearing from the other that a woman's husband died. And the reason this is true is because mishum iguna he kilu be rabbanan, because the rabbanan did not want a woman to remain in aguna, not be able to marry for the rest of her life. They were mekel, and they said that aid mipi aid is mutter. And in addition to that, call mekadesh adait the rabbanan mekadesh, and the halacha of aid mipi aid is also kosher for bechor as well. The next Mishnah. Anything that was already cooked before Shabbos can be soaked in hot water on Shabbos. But if it wasn't cooked, you cannot soak it, but you can rinse it. The Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan said, unless a halacha is clear to you, it's better not to say it at all. And going into golos can take away from a person's good looks. Daf kuf mem bav. When Vanachash came to Chava, he injected in her an impurity, and all of Klal Yisrael who stood at Har Sinai had this impurity and physical defects taken from them. For example, if someone was blind, they lost the blindness, and they could see like anyone else. And even a ger today becomes pure via their mazalim, who were there for them at the time of Har Sinai. Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav, the Mishnah. A person can break open a barrel on Shabbos to get to the figs inside of them, so he can eat them. Even though normally this would be Osir, due to Makeh B'Patish, as the Rambam says, or due to Baina, as the Ran says, but here it's Mutter, because this is called Mekalkel, this is called being destructive. The Rashba asks here that a destructive act on Shabbos, although it's not Asim in a Torah, but it's still Asim in a Rabbanan, so how do we allow it? The Chasam Sefer answers that Rashi is of the opinion, Ein Binyan B'Kelim, This is brought in Kuntres Haladaf. The melacha of building applies only to fixed structures, not to movable vessels. Fixing vessels is only asa mirabanan under the isser of tikkun mana, fixing vessels. Therefore, Rashi is of the opinion that destroying a vessel is entirely mutter, since by definition, the rabbinic isser of tikkun mana does not apply. The Rashi and other Rishanim explain that although in general destructive acts are asa mirabanan, the Rabbanim permitted opening a container of food in a destructive manner for the sake of Oinik Shabbos, Shabbos enjoyment. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Shin Yud Dalet Sifches allows opening or tearing a disposable container or bag of food on Shabbos, especially if it's done in a destructive manner without creating a proper Pesach. Rav Moshe Zecher Tzadik Livracha and Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Chof Beis is reluctant to allow stam opening packages. He therefore advises opening all containers and packages that one needs for Shabbos before Shabbos. The Mishnah concludes that the only heter of doing this, opening it in a destructive manner, is if a person doesn't make a nice hole that would turn the barrel into a keli. Gemara. One cannot make a new hole on a keli on Shabbos, but one can widen the hole. Others say that he can't even widen it. But all say, if the hole was opened, but plugged up before Shabbos, it can be unplugged on Shabbos. Finally, if a mace is in a house and the door is closed, the area around the house is not tameh. But if the door was open, the dalet amos around the house becomes tameh, even if later you close and seal the door. The next Mishnah. One can put cooked food inside an empty pit to keep it fresh, and one can put a jug of clean water inside dirty water in order to cool it off. He can also put cold water into the sun to warm it up. Finally, if while traveling a person's clothes got wet, he can still walk with them on, and we don't have to be chayshish, people will think that he washed them. When he gets close to town, however, he can dry them, but he cannot dry them in front of people, because this would be maris ha'ayin. Gemara. The rule is, kol makam she'osru chachamim mishum maris ha'ayin, afilu b'chadre chadarim osur. Any place where the chachamim said something is osur due to maris ha'ayin, it's osur to do it even in private. If that's the case, so how can he spread out his clothes to dry, shalei keneged ha'am, privately, where nobody's around? Our answer is, it's really a machaikis tanayim. Tafkuf mem zayin. If someone wears a talus over his shoulder, shalei kederach malbush, he's chayev achatas. And Babylonian pockets, which are the bottom of pants, those are usher to make on Shabbos, since this is also shalei kederach malbush, the Mishnah. One who bathes on Shabbos in the waters of a cave or the hot springs of Tveria, he shouldn't bring home towels, since he may come to squeeze them out, and this would be schita, unless there are a lot of people who remind each other not to squeeze the towel. One can massage, but one cannot rub hard, since it's uvda d'chol. One should not induce vomiting or straighten the limbs of a baby on Shabbos. Also, one should not set a broken bone. Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds, although it's usher to rinse with hot water on Shabbos, but it's mutter with cold water. Rabbi Chelbi said the Asaras HaShvatim were lost from Klal Yisrael because they became involved in the gashmias of the wines of Prugisa and the water of Dinyomsis. And in fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went to check out these items and forgot his Torah as a result. Finally, it's usher to induce vomiting with medicine on Shabbos, but by hand, it would be mutter. Daf Kuf Chem Ches. The Gemara paskens that it is mutter to set a broken bone on Shabbos, because if it's not set, it can endanger the broken bone. This marks the end of the perek. Now let's begin perek Chof Gimel, Shoyal, the Mishnah. One is allowed on Shabbos to borrow from his friend pitchers of wine or oil, but he should say hashileni, that it's a short-term loan. And if the malva does not trust him, the leva can give him his talis and leave the talis by him and make the cheshbon for the whole thing after Shabbos. Gemara. Halveni is mashma, a long-term loan. So the malva might accidentally come to write it down on Shabbos. That's why it's usher. Masha enkin, hashileni is a short-term loan, so there's no chshash of ksiva. The Gemara says one may not clap hands or dance on Yontif. This is referring, by the way, to maisim that were done for the purposes of avelos. The Gemara Ma'id Katan, Daf Chof Ches, says it's also usher to do this on Chol HaMoed as well. Dancing is usher due to the chshash of tikkun keli. One might come to adjust a musical instrument, and this is usher due to makeh b'patish. The Gemara says it's usher to sit on the edge of an alleyway by the lechi on Shabbos, and we don't give musr to those who do this, since mutav sheyu shaygigin v'al yiyu mezidin. It's better that they don't know about it and they're shaygigin, and they should end up knowing about it and doing it anyway, and therefore being mezidin. But mutav sheyu shaygigin only applies to isurei mirabanan, not to isurim deraisa, like Tosfos Yom HaKippurim. A loan made on Yontif, Rabbi Yosef says, it is not redeemable in Bezdin, i.e. the Bezdin will not hear the case. Rabbah says it is reclaimable in Beis Din. Even though normally someone cannot make something into Hekdesh on Shabbos, but if Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, and one has not yet designated an animal as a Karban Pesach, he can do it even on Shabbos. The next Mishnah. A person can count on Shabbos the number of guests that he's going to have on Shabbos, and the number of desserts that he needs, but only Baal Peh, not from a list. One can cast lots for food portions with his mishpacha on Shabbos, as long as the portions are equal. And the same halacha applies for the lots that the Kohanim do for Karbanos. Daf Kuf Mem Tes, the Gemara. Reading from a list is usser, since he may come to erase some names of guests or read some business documents. And this is usser due to Uvda Dechol, which is not allowed on Shabbos, as we see from the Pasuk of Mimtzai Chefzecha, the Daber Daber. One cannot read La'or Haner on Shabbos, Gzera Midrabanan, that someone may come to tip the lamp on Shabbos to make the flame stronger. A person shouldn't use a mirror on Shabbos, since he may see a bad hair and want to cut it. Others say that it's mutter to use a mirror on Shabbos. When the Mishnah talks about lending items, one has to be careful with these loans of items not to accidentally take ribbis of the value of the bread if it goes up. The Gemara says the lots of large versus small portions is usser even during the week, because this is kuvya, this is dice, i.e. gambling. Gambling is usser because we say asmachta leikanya, even when a person says, if you win the draw, I'll give you money, but he only says this because he thinks he's going to win. If he would have known that he'll lose, he probably would not have entered into his bet. So when he loses, it's like gzela midrabanan on the part of the winner. Other shitas brought in Shulchan Aruch, Chayshe Mishpat, Simen, Shin Ayin, Sif Gimel, hold that gambling is mutter in certain circumstances, especially if it isn't a person's full-time profession. If Reuven causes his friend Shimon to do an Avera, Reuven will not be allowed into the Mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar was such a rasha that even the dead people in Gehenim were afraid when he came there. Daf Kuf Nun. Before we begin the next Mishnah, let's give a brief hakdama to the Isurei Midrabanan of Amira La'akum on Shabbos. As we know, it's also to enlist the aid of a goy on Shabbos to do a melacha for you, whether it's a melacha midrabanan or midaraisa, on Shabbos. Rashi here explains, the reason it is also to tell a goy to do a melacha for you is because he becomes your shaliach. And since we say in Kiddushin, Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, that shluchai shel adam kemoisai, it would be also to ask a goy to do a melacha for you, since when he does the melacha, it's as if you did the melacha. Rashi in Avodah Zarah Tesvam Amid Aleph gives a second reason for the isser of Amir La'akam on Shabbos. And that is due to the pasuk of Vidaber Dover, which teaches us that one is not allowed to speak about weekday matters on Shabbos. Now, although Amir La'akam is normally usher on Shabbos, there are four basic exemptions to this rule, in which case the Chachamim waived this isser and said that Amir La'akam is mutter. And these four exceptions are as follows. Number one, Chayla Kol Guf, or as referred to as a Chayla She'ein by Sakana. If a person is sick, he may instruct a non-Jew to do even a Malacha Min HaTorah to help improve his condition. For example, to call a doctor. Number two, Tsar Haguf. If a person is not sick, but is suffering considerable body discomfort, one may instruct a guy to do any of the Yisurim Derabanan of Shabbos, but not an Yisurim in Atayra, as long as it will help to remove the cause of the pain or relieve some of the discomfort. For example, putting on cream to a burn. Number three, Makam Mitzvah. If a mitzvah such as davening, learning Torah, sitting in a sukkah, blowing shofar, cannot be fulfilled unless a certain Isser is done, one may instruct a guy to do the Isser as long as it's an Isser Midrabanan, not an Isser Minatira, in order to enable the person to fulfill the mitzvah. In certain rare cases, Lutzarech mitzvah, it's even mutter to have a guy do a malacha midaraisa, for example for a bris mila, or if an Erev fell down on Shabbos, one can tell a guy to knock it back up. Finally, in the case of Hefsid Meruba, if one would suffer a substantial financial loss unless a certain Isser is done, one may instruct a non-Jew to do an Isser Midrabanan, but not a Malacha Min HaTorah, in order to prevent the financial loss from occurring. In addition to these four cases, there are four other cases where we can be makel by Amir La'akam. These include Bein Hashmashas, doing a Malacha Muteras, which will certainly, in turn, cause a Malacha to happen, Psik Reisha, Amira La'amira, telling a guy to tell another guy, and Muktzah. We should point out that we're mentioning this introduction not for the purpose of paskening Shailas, but rather just to give a broad introduction to the halachas of Amir al-Akam. And since these halachas are very complex, it's of course advisable to speak to a Rav when one has a specific shaila. Now let's begin the Mishnah. A person should not hire workers to work for him on Shabbos. Rashi explains that this is learned from the Pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Ches, V'chibadatoi me'asais durachecha, mimtzei cheftzecha, v'daber dover. Don't attend to your business on Shabbos. Also, don't ask someone to hire workers for you. and don't walk out of the Tchum Shabbos or to the border of the Tchum to look for workers. Gemara. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us these halachas? We already know that Amir La'akam is Aser Min Rabbanan, Mishum Shvus, from the previous Mishnah, where it talks about a Nachri Shabal L'chabais, a Nachri wants to put out a fire. We know it's Aser to tell a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. Gemara answers, our Mishnah is teaching us that to even speak any business on Shabbos is Aser. But to think about business on Shabbos, this would be mutar. Hirhurim mutarim. Rabbi Yechanan said, it is mutar to think about Torah in all places, except in the Beis HaKisei and the Beis HaMerchatz. Rabbi Chizna and Rabbi Penuna said, although it is usher to discuss business on Shabbos, it is mutar to discuss money matters for a mitzvah, chefzei shamayim. For example, raising money for tzedakah, government issues, communal affairs, making shidduchim, and to teach a child Torah or a trade. In Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis, we learn that a father has a chiyuv to teach his son an umnas. In fact, this Gemara is the source for the song that we sing on Shabbos, Mayadidus, where we say, Chafatzecha bayasurim, your needs, your business is usur to do on Shabbos, Vigam lachshev cheshbainus, but here hurim mutarim, udashadei chabanus. Things for chefzei shamayim would be mutar to discuss on Shabbos. The Gemara says it's usur to speak out plans to do on Sunday if they involve tasks that would be usur to do on Shabbos. The Gemara says one should not take care of his weekday needs until he makes Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbos. And even if you made Havdalah in Maariv, i.e. through Atachan and Tanu, you still need to make the regular Havdalah al HaKais. But if you want, you can still do Malacha by just saying the words HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol after Shabbos has ended. We should point out that even if one does this, he still has a chiyuv to at some point make the regular Havdalah over the Kais. And until he does this, it is Osir to eat, as we see in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Tzadik Tes, Sif Yud Alf. Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, the Mishnah. One can await the night at the Tchum border for Achnasas Kala, or to deal with a mace. These are, of course, Chefzei Shemayim. If a guy carries a flute for Yisrael to use, if it was done Bederach Iser, i.e. Hoitzah, the Yehudi cannot use it at all on that Shabbos. Because this would be benefiting from a locha that was done specifically for a Jew on Shabbos by a guy, which is Aser. Gemara. If a guy digs a hole, and we don't know if he did it for himself or the Yehudi, Misafik, then we say that it can be used. And if a city has a bathhouse open on Shabbos, if Rav Ha'ir is Nachrim, so after Shabbos, it can be used immediately. But if Rav Ha'ir are Yehudim, then he must wait until after Shabbos, not just to go to the bathhouse after Shabbos, but he has to wait a period of time, the shear of Pichdei Sheyasa, as long as it would take to warm up the hot water. The Mishnah. On Shabbos, we can take care of all basic needs of a mace, of a dead person, which relate to covered ha-mace. Gemara. One cannot smear anything onto any type of a floor, because we're afraid he'll level it out, and this would be the malacha of Baina. The next Mishnah. One is not allowed to close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos, because this is an Aver, and Avarim are Muktzah. And even during the week, it is Osir at the moment of death to do this, and anyone who closes the eyes of a dying person at the time of Yitzias Neshama, it is like he is Shefech Danim, it's like he is a murderer. Gemara. The mashal is that if you touch a candle that is flickering out, then it goes out immediately. The same thing is true for a mace. If you touch his eyes, you could cause his death to happen quicker than it should have. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, a day-old baby, we can be Mechal Shabbos to save him. Since one time, if we're Mechal Shabbos for the baby, it can lead to him keeping many, many Shabbosos. Chilalav Shabbos Echad, kadei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. Masha'enken, if someone is already dead, even if he's David HaMelech, we cannot be Mechal Shabbos for him, since he can never do mitzvahs anymore. Rav Chanina said, it is usher to sleep alone in a house because you have to be afraid of Shadim. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, give tzedakah as long as you have money, because when Mashiach comes, there will be no aniyim, and when you die, it will be out of your control to give tzedakah. Shmuel argues, and says that in the days of Mashiach, there will be aniyim, since Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Li Yemais HaMashiach Elo Shibud Malchius Bilvad. The only difference between Olam Hazeh and Yemais HaMashiach is that Yemais HaMashiach we will not be under the servitude of the Goyim. Rav Loza ben Kapper said, a person should always be mispal that poverty should not visit his family, since even if it does not strike him, it can strike his son, since poverty is like a revolving wheel. The Aruch HaShulchan, Yeredeya, Simen, Reish Mem Zayin, Sifhei, writes that he has a mesera, that one who undertakes to solicit tztaka on behalf of Aniyim, is assured that his family and his descendants will never have to beg on their own behalf. And the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, explains that the significance of the prayer of Ashrei, that we say three times a day, is that it contains the pasuk Paiseach es yadecha umasbia l'chol chayrotzen. Hashem opens his hand and sustains every living thing. Rabbeinu Yoina derives from the fact that the Gemara attaches so much significance to the pasuk of Paiseach es yadecha that when saying Ashrei, a person is mechuyev to concentrate on the meaning of the pasuk. And if he does not do that, he has to go back and say it again. Rabbi Chiya said to his wife, when a poor man comes to the door, rush to give him bread. In fact, we know that call merachem al abrius, merachmin alav min hashamayim. We call she'ena merachem al abrius, e'merachmin alav min hashamayim. Finally, there are three kinds of tears, three good types, medicine, laughter, and smells, and three bad types, smoke, tsaras, and pain. Daf Kufnin Beis. For the first 40 years of one's life, solid foods are good for a person. After that, liquids are best. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha was bald, and someone came along and made fun of his baldness. They said, a hadras panem is when someone has a beard. The simcha of the heart is a wife, and the nachla of Hashem is children. Rabbi Yitzchak said, every tzaddik gets a special dwelling place in Shemayim, tailor-made for him. The Gemara says the soul of a person mourns for him all 7 days of Shiva, following his death, as we see from the pasuk, the nafshei olav te'evel. And it says in Bereshis Perek Nun, Vayas li oviv evel shivas yamim, referring to Yosef vis-a-vis his father, that the avelos was for 7 days. So from here we see that avelos is for 7 days. Rabbi Yehuda says, if there are no relatives to sit shiva for a mace, there are seven relatives who have to sit shiva for a mace. This includes a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a son, a daughter, or a spouse. In this case, if there's nobody to sit shiva for a mace, then 10 men should sit shiva in the place of death. The Gemara then relates that Rabbi Yehuda's neighbor died without any surviving mourners, and Rabbi Yehuda brought a group of 10 men to the deceased house for 7 days. Afterwards, the deceased man appeared to Rabbi Yehuda in a dream and blessed him for having comforted his soul. Kuntres al-Daf brings the Shilta Gibarim, the Ma'id Katan, Daf Yud Ches, where it's brought in the Rif. The Shilta Gibarim deduces from this Gemara that it's preferable for Avelim to sit Shiva at the place where the relative's soul expired. Apparently the deceased soul lingers in the place of his death and is comforted with the words of comfort spoken to the mourners. He also suggests that Rabbi Yehuda specifically brought 10 men to the house of the mace because he wanted to arrange for a minyan to be misbal there. Davening with a minyan at the house of a mace is a comfort to the neshama because the shechina is always present when there is a minyan of 10 men who are misbal together. The Rambam in Hilchas Avelos, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Dalet, writes vis-a-vis this Gemara, that if the mace has no body to mourn for him, then 10 honorable men should sit in his place throughout the 7 days of mourning, and the rest of the people should gather there to offer words of comfort. The Rama and Simon Shin Ayin Vav, Sif Gimel, writes that he has never seen a group of people sitting Shiva at the home of a person who died without relatives, as the Rambam has mentioned before. However, he says that it is a worthwhile practice to gather a minyan of 10 men to daven there anyway, because that provides nachas ruach, a sense of satisfaction and comfort to the soul of the deceased. Rabbi Avoh said, anything that is said in front of the mace hears until the cover of the coffin is put on. Rabbi Ezra says, the souls of tzaddikim are stored under the kisei hakavod, but their bodies turn to dust like everyone else's. For the first 12 months after death, the body remains intact, but the neshama rises to shamayim. After 12 months, the guf ceases to exist, and the neshama goes up permanently. Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Rabbi Yehuda said, from the hesped a person gets when he dies, it is obvious if he is a ben olam haba or not. Because we see if a lot of people cry for him, it's obvious that he's a ben olam haba. It's a good idea for people to always be dressed in white. The mashal is that the tzaddikim are always ready to serve Hashem, so that they are rewarded with food and drink as servants of Hashem. As the pasuk in Kehelas Perek Tes says, b'chol eis yihyu begadecha levanim, they should be white, this refers to tzitzis, and the pasuk v'shemen al reishcha al yechsar refers to tefillin. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the final parak of Masech Shabbos, Parak Chav Dalad, Mi Shehechshech. There's a Mishnah here that talks about a person who is on his way, who is traveling, and it comes Shabbos time. What is he supposed to do with all of his stuff? Now we know that Hotzah, Mershus L'Rishus, is an Isser, Halakha L'Mayshim Yisinai, carrying from Rishus Hayachat to Rishus Harabim, or vice versa, is Aser Halakha L'Mayshim Yisinai. We also know that carrying Dalet Amos within a Rishus HaRabim is a tolda of this melacha of Hotzah. So what is a person supposed to do? He has a wallet. What is he supposed to do with it? Naisein Kisoy LeNachri, you're supposed to give your wallet to a guy before Shkia. Rashi says this means before Shkia. The Rush says you could even give it to the guy after Shkia. The Gemara says, my time in Deshari, how are you allowed to give it to a guy? We know you're not allowed to have a guy do melacha for you on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Ein adam ma'amid atzmai al-mamayne."
What we're really afraid of is a person is very makpid on his money, and we're afraid that if we're not going to let him do anything, he's just going to carry it himself, dalan amas b'rishus harabim, and it'll become oiver on an iser. So therefore, we allow him to do at least this much to give it to a guy. Now, what do you do if there is no guy? Then we say that it's okay to put the wallet on a chamor, on a donkey. Now, we also know that there's a chiyuv of shrisas behema. So how are you allowed to do this? So the Gemara says it's better to put it on a chamor, but the chamor should carry it, than to give it to a person. And it's even better to give it to a chamor than to give it to a cheresh, shaita, the cut. Then the Gemara brings down chamisha lo yasrimu. There's five people who are not allowed to give truma. The imtarmon, if these five people did give truma, ain trumas and truma, then it's not considered a truma. Who are these five? Cheresh, shaita, the cotton, a nachri, and tarim she'en shalaya, a person who gives truma when it doesn't, these vegetables or whatever it is, doesn't belong to him. We know that because of the pasuk of tvuas zarecha, which says it has to belong to you. It doesn't belong to you, you're not allowed to give it, and if you do give it, it's not a good truma. Then the Gemara mentions on the side, my lichai pachas mi dalad dalad, we know we've had this before, the person carries dalad, let's say the person carries two amas, then two amas, then two amas, midaraisa that's mutar. But we know that's asur midarabanan, al tshvus dirabanan. The Gemara also mentions the isur of mechamer, which is leading an animal to do a melacha. Then finally the Gemara mentions, in speaking about all the different alternatives, what do you do? The Gemara says that b'di'evit, it's mutar on Shabbos, and this is really the last resort, to actually run all the way to your house with the chavila, or with your wallet that you're carrying, and then you throw the wallet into the house, into the rishus hayochid, kila'achar yad, sort of backhanded, or in a way different than you would normally put it into a house, so it's not really a hanacha. So basically the maskana of this Gemara comes out in order of preference. Number one, the first thing you want to do is give it to a nachri. If there is no nachri, you give it to a chamor. If there's no chamor, you give it to a shaita. The next in order is a cheresh or a cotton. The fifth is pachas dalad dalad. You're allowed to walk two amas, two amas, two amas till you get to the house. And lastly, if none of those are alternatives, you can run all the way to the house and then you throw it into the house, kilacher yad. Daf kufnun dalad. We say davar shechayavin al shigigasei chatas, something which is chayav if you do it b'shagig, you're chayav chatas. That same thing, if you do it b'mezid, it's chayav skila. Of course, that's with edim and with hasra. Otherwise, it's a chayav kars. Midrabanan, we say, ein mevatlin keli mehechana. And we had this, of course, earlier in the Masechta. This is specifically referring to putting pillows underneath a behema in order to catch a kli's chuchis, which is going to break if it falls off the behema. We say, tzar balechayim is an iser d'araisa. We bring down the sheet of Rabban Gamliel, who holds that tzar balechayim is only an iser d'rabanan. There's also a reference here to the Mishnah in Be'ah, which talks about the iser of riding a behema or climbing a tree on Shabbos. And the chash of both of these is because we're afraid of kaitzer. We're afraid if he rides a behema, he may pull off a branch from the tree to hit the behema or to get the behema to move a little bit quicker. Along with these gezeiros, once they were geyser this already, they were also geyser. Not only are you not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch a tree on Shabbos. And not only are you not allowed to ride a behema on Shabbos, you're not allowed to play with a behema at all on Shabbos. Which means if you have a pet, for example, in the house, a dog, you're not allowed to touch the dog on Shabbos or play with the dog on Shabbos. However, you are allowed to feed the behema on Shabbos, as we'll see in a minute. We do say, though, the halacha, be'ilam, when we're dealing with a tree, tzadadin usr, to actually touch the tree itself or something that touches the tree, that's usr. But sidei tzadadin is mutter. So, for example, you're not allowed to touch the peg, a peg which is set into a tree, but you are allowed to touch a ladder which is touching a peg which is touching the tree. That is allowed to be touched because that's sidei stud. Taf kufnun hei. We have a Mishnah that says you're allowed to make food from scratch for a behema on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to make existing food more appetizing. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Also in the Mishnah, we say you're not allowed to force feed an animal on Shabbos. The Gemara then says, "Naisei mazim lifnei hakelev b'Shabbos, avolei lechazir." You're allowed to put food in front of the kelev so he'll eat it on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put food in front of the chazir, in front of the pig on Shabbos. Why is this the case? Because as we say, a dog is a man's best friend, or vice versa. Since the dog relies on you for food, he's not going to be able to find food by himself. So for him, you're allowed to give it food, but to a pig, which manages to fend for himself and to find food for himself, a pig you're not allowed to give food to on Shabbos. The Gemara says that's why Hashem made it take 3 days for a dog to digest food, as a matter of rachamim, because a dog can't really find food by himself. We then say lisha, kneading, is an isser on Shabbos. And we discuss that in somewhat of a detail also. Daf kuf nun vav. Lisha is when you mix water together with the kemach. Then the Gemara says, the day of the week that you were born can influence the kind of person you are. And there's also discussion about the position of the moon and a number of other things. But we do say that although this influences a person's particular mazel, a person can be mispalel to change whatever destiny they do have. There's also a discussion about astrology, constellations, stargazers, etc. The Gemara then says we're really not supposed to ask a fortune teller for advice. The reason is because of the pasuk of Tamim Tihiyeh Lashem Elokecha. However, if you find out by accident something that a stargazer said is going to happen to you, and for example, something bad is going to happen to you, you should take that very seriously. So l'chatchila, you're not supposed to ask a stargazer or someone who deals with that to tell you what's going to happen, but if you find out by accident, you can definitely take it seriously. And we also note, Staka Tatzil Mimavas. Giving a lot of tzedakah could save you from death. The Gemara brings down a story of the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, who was saved on her wedding day because of some tzedakah that she had given the day before. When people were busy preparing for the wedding, she found time to give tzedakah to an ani, and she was saved from a snake that was actually in the wall, ready to bite her on her wedding day. It's mentioned here a discussion about Gilui Reish, going in Gilui Reish, wearing a yarmulke. And we say there's no iser to go out to Gilui Reish, it's only a minig chasidus. The Mishnah says, "Im loy hayis nevela me'erev Shabbos." Let's say something wasn't already a nevela on Erev Shabbos, it was chai. Then you're not allowed to give it to a kelev on Shabbos. Why? Because Erev Shabbos, it wasn't mina muchan. The shita of Rabbi Yehuda, something wasn't mina muchan, which is the basis of muktzah. That you're not allowed to use it at all on Shabbos because it becomes basically a muktzah. If something wasn't achila, or it wasn't muchan, it wasn't destined to be eaten on Erev Shabbos, that puts it in the category of not muchan, and that automatically makes it muktzah on Shabbos. Am Rabbi Yechanan, we say halacha kistam mishnah, and we say muktzah machmas chesaron kis, which we mentioned numerous times earlier. Even according to Reb Shimon, he would be mitev it's muktzah under all circumstances. We say Beis Shammai holds like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmer by muktzah. Beis Hillel holds like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who's mekel on muktzah. And we have here a little bit of a discussion about the maskana of the machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We basically paskin like Rabbi Shimon lekula by a davar she'ena miskaven, by a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and generally speaking by muktzah. And we paskin lehalacha even by a muktzah machmas mius, for example, a ner yashin, that is mutar on Shabbos, like the Shita of Reb Shimon. Muktza machmas iser.
Something, for example, like chametz on Pesach.
That we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, and we also say migud iskatzoy lebein hashmashes iskatzoy lekulu yayma. Something which was not mutter during the entire period of bein hashmashes remains aser for the entire Shabbos. This we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. By muktza machmas chesaron kis, something which is very valuable to a person, we pass on. Even in fact, Reb Shimon is Maida, that's Asur on Shabbos also. And we say that a Keli Shem Lachte L'Isser, we paskin that it's Mutter L'Tzarach Gufay Umakaymai, but it's not Mutter Nichama L'Tzeah. Then we have a Mishnah that says a Baal, a husband, is allowed to be Mefer Neder of his wife on Shabbos, Bein L'Tzarach, Bein Shalei L'Tzarach. And not only that, he's allowed to be Mefer La'atzmai from a Talmud Chacham on Shabbos, only L'Tzarach. Zman, the Zman of Hafaras Netarim, is a machlokes. When exactly is that? We know that it's supposed to be within the day. The question is it just the end of that particular day, or it's a full Me'ezle, it's a full 24 hours? We paskin, it's the end of that particular day. Finally, the Masechta ends up with a story where we discuss the halachas of Medida, which is measuring, which is really an Uvda Dechol, but we say that is Mutter Lutzarech Mitzvah. And as we see in the Gemara, a story of one of the Amoraim who was sitting in a tub and actually measuring it, and they asked him, "If it's not a Tzarech Mitzvah, how are you measuring?" And he said, that it's really misasik. I really didn't know what I was doing. There's a number of pshatim. Exactly what is meant by this, whether it's a davar she'eino miskaven or it's misasik. But either way, if we say that it's misasik, we know that misasik is an iser derabbanan.
Hadron Allah, Masechta Shabbos.